sing forevermore. We're a new old acquaintance on that golden shore. And the church is going higher than it's been before. The church is going higher than it's been before. Rejoicing over Zion, we'll sing forevermore. We'll renew old acquaintance on that golden shore. And the church is going higher than it's been before.
Our children have been battered, torn on every hand. The world sees the church, says the ships are going. But I've got some news that this world just can't ignore. Victory's already mine, I'm going higher than before.
The church is going higher than it's been before. Rejoicing over Zion, we'll sing forevermore. We'll renew old acquaintance on that golden shore. And the church is going higher than it's been before. The church is going higher than it's been before. Rejoicing over Zion, we'll sing forevermore. We'll renew old acquaintance on that golden shore. And the church is going higher than it's been before.
This microphone? Okay. We'll just go ahead and take the prayer request tonight, and I'll ask Brother Terry if he don't mind to come. Pray over these. Am I working now? Still not working. All right, let's remember Sister Gerald. She's home. Sister Geraldine Yance, she's home sick with a stomach virus. Also remember Sister Retha Arnold and family. Her mother passed away on Friday morning, so let's remember that. Also, Sister Judy Dyer, sick at home with congestion. Let's remember her. Brother Tracy's not feeling well. Also remember his friend Lee. He's got a leg that he's having problems with, and also pray for his soul. A Christian lady requests prayer for her son, who will be protecting a very prominent, high-profile individual during a conference in the nation's capital. And that's from Brother Amos. So remember that. Brother Randy Babb requested prayer for his daughter Shay. She's very sick with a virus. Also, let's pray for Eugene Kennedy. The doctors have put him in Health South rehab so he can gain strength and endurance. So let's remember that. Please pray for me. I'm home with head and chest congestion. That's from Sister Pat Short. Please pray for Elizabeth, who's going through abdominal pain and discomfort. That's from Brother Jose Manley. Please pray for Alicia Babb. She's got flu symptoms. Also for Eliana, Emma, and Leah, all sick, in need of prayer tonight. Please remember Eden Hara in prayer. She's running a temperature, vomiting. So Sister Lona turns that in for her granddaughter tonight. Please pray for Greg and Shirley Robbins, both sick, unable to be in church tonight. Also pray for Todd Robbins, who has the flu. Let's pray for Samuel. Andrew Coe, 4-year-old, cannot hear, having trouble with his legs. So let's remember that child. Also, Brother Samuel turns in a request. He needs prayer for the ability to find work, be able to pay off everyone he owes, as well continue to grow in love with the church family. So let's remember Brother Samuel tonight. If we could all stand and just ask Brother Terry to come, take these needs to the Lord tonight.
Let's join our faith together as we look to the Lord on behalf of these requests tonight. Lord Jesus, first of all, we want to invite your presence. Lord, we ask that you'd come in amongst us tonight. Lord, would you be present here tonight? May we enjoy the fellowship around the Word. Would you just come here, Lord, tonight? We invite your presence. Lord, it seems like it sometimes it's just a little bit hard to get started, but Lord, we want to let you know that we love you and we appreciate you. You give us another opportunity to come to the house of God. The doors are still open. We haven't seen, Lord, the squeeze come down as perhaps it might. But Father, we're still thankful that we have this opportunity to come to the house of God. Lord, we're living in a great age. The prophet of God said, invisible union, we're living in the rapture age. The move is on for the bride. And the church is going up higher. We are coming up higher. We're maturing. We're laying in the presence of the Son. We're coming closer to that full image of Jesus Christ. And that's what we desire, that His ministry and the ministry of the bride has got to be the same, that capstone ministry. Thank you for that, Lord. I pray that you'll touch each one. Many sick, many have different types of flu symptoms and so forth that's going around. I pray, Lord, for that little four-year-old that can't hear. It's hard for us to imagine, can't hear, maybe never in his life, unless you touch him, never hear the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, would you just perform a miracle? Open up that little boy's ears, a boy, girl, whoever it was. Open up that child's ears. May he hear the name of the Lord Jesus and become a child of God. Lord, and may there's those... we've got unsaved loved ones, and they've heard the name of Jesus but never accepted. Brood over them and bring them into the kingdom. Lord, it's almost over. You know when you're coming. We don't know, but we truly know it's very, very soon. Oh, God, help us, Lord, tonight. Help us to be enthused about the coming of the Lord. We should never lose our enthusiasm about coming to church, Lord, or coming to the Lord, and all these wonderful things, Lord, for you're our life. You're our love. Lord, you mean everything to us. Anoint the service tonight. Anoint the singers. Anoint Brother Donnie to speak as he brings the word of the Lord. Let it be spiritual food in due season. Give us grace tonight. We love you tonight. Come present. Help us, Lord. We worship you. Touch everyone. Everyone I have my hand on these requests. They've been read. You know the need. And I'm asking you to manifest your healing touch in each one. And we'll give you praise for it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Terry.
My boat of life sails on a troubled sea. Whenever there's a wind in my sail, but I have a friend who watches over me when the breeze turns into again. I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storms, make the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind. Let's sing that chorus again. I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storms, make the sun shine again. I know the master of sometimes I soar like an eagle through the sky. Above the peaks my soul can be found. An unexpected storm may drive me from the height. It'll bring me low, but it'll never bring me down.
Let's sing the chorus again.
I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storm, make the sun shine again. I know the master of the wind. Thank you.
can do a lot more than just sing about that. I'm glad we've lived it and we feel it every day. Let's sing that. That is G.
As I kneel in the darkness, in the middle of the night, I'm praying for assurance, everything's gonna be alright. Lord, I see another body, it's out in front of me, and I'm afraid I won't be able, and I'll go down in defeat. He said, do you remember where I brought you from? Just take a look behind you at how far you've come. And every time you ask me, didn't I deliver you? So why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see you through? Said, I walked on the water, I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you, just so you wouldn't fall. She's talking to her father in a house that was once a home. She said, my bills are coming due, Lord, and 6 days is not that long. She hears a voice so still and low and says, I've moved like that before. I'll do this little thing and I'll give you so much more. And he said, I want.
We got an announcement here to make. They have asked us to announce that tomorrow is the cutoff for sign up for the bus going to Louisiana camp. Anyone from our church wanting to go needs to sign up by tomorrow. And this is for the bus reservation. So any young people planning to go needs to get that done tonight. Let's do So You Would Know. So You Would Know. We had a request to sing this tonight, so we'll do this together. And then ask Brother Fred Green. I believe he's got a song for us tonight. So if he wants to go ahead and come up, make his way to the platform, and we'll sing this while you're getting ready. That's an F. Nope, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's an F.
How many times must I prove how much I love you? How many ways must my love for you I show? How many times must I rescue you from trouble so you would know just how much I love you? How well I remember in the old-fashioned days when some old-fashioned people had some old-fashioned ways in the old-fashioned meetings. As they tarried there in the old-fashioned manner, how God answered their prayers. There was singing, such singing of those old-fashioned airs. Power, such power in those old-fashioned prayers. Oh, how fashioned. We got started off on. Praise the Lord. Can we all on the right? Okay. Oh, how well I remember in the old-fashioned days when some old-fashioned people had some old-fashioned way in the old-fashioned meetings. As they tarried there in the old-fashioned manner, how God answered their prayers. 'Twas an old-fashioned meeting in an old-fashioned place.
Where some old-fashioned people had some old-fashioned grace. As an old-fashioned sinner, I began to pray, and the Lord heard and saved me in the old-fashioned way. There was hope. I've been very upset this week. I was close to dying. Satan been really fighting me, and I was going 40 miles an hour. Lady pulled right in front of me. It was either a choice of hitting her, killing her, and me being in the hospital and losing everything. And I chose, the Lord gave me a path around it. So, all the lanes were full except for the left and right turn lanes, and that's the ones I hit. I'm going to try it. You know, I've just been fought this week. I've been really, anything and everything, but I know God's conqueror, and I know we've got the devil defeated. And I never say nothing up here, you know. I try to keep my mouth shut, but sometimes, you know, it's just kind of hard, you know. Okay, let's see now. How about if we do this? And then I'm going to sit down, all right? I just feel that, okay? Oh, they say it's far better. Things have changed, don't you know? And the people in general seem to think it is so. And they call me old-fashioned when I dare to say I like it a whole lot better in the old-fashioned way. 'Twas an old-fashioned meeting in an old-fashioned place where some old-fashioned people had some old-fashioned grace. As an old-fashioned sinner, I began to pray, and the Lord heard and saved me in the old-fashioned way. If the Lord never changes, as these fashions of men, if he's always the same, why God must be old-fashioned then. As an old-fashioned sinner, I got saved through old-time grace. And I know he's gonna take me to an old-fashioned place. 'Cause an old-fashioned me in an old-fashioned place where some old-fashioned people had some old-fashioned grace. As an old-fashioned sinner, I began to pray, and the Lord heard and saved me in the old-fashioned way. Oh, the Lord sent William Branham in this 20th century day, and this message was revealed to me in the old-fashioned way. Oh, he lived the life before us and showed us the way that will lead us straight to Jesus in the glory someday. Sing it with me. 'Twas an
eyes upon Jesus. As Brother Donnie gets ready to come,
turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonder. Strangely dim in the light His glory and grace. Turn your eyes on Jesus.
And the seas of this world will grow strangely dear in the light of His glory and grace. Once again, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look for, amen, Lord. Wonderful things, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 21. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 21. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Ain't that wonderful? Let's read verse 22 and 23 again. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Now you understand you can have a true heart, but if you do not draw near to God with a true heart in full assurance of faith, you still won't get what you're asking for. A true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession. Now, this word is actually the same word that Brother Bam said was interchangeably, which in the Greek language it is. It's profess or confess. Let us hold fast the profession, which is what you say. It's really what you believe about yourself and what you're saying about yourself and what you're confessing that God is and God is going to do for you. So let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For He is faithful that promised. I'm so glad. Because I ain't always been faithful. And I'll go ahead and say it since I've got the microphone over my ear and you don't. You ain't either. None of us have been. But He is when we're not. Let's bow our heads together. How many have a request on your heart tonight, a need in your life, your body, whatever it is? God bless you. Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight for the reading of Your Word. Truly, Lord, we could dismiss right now and say, it was good to be in the house of God, to hear songs sing, prayer requests that have been known, prayers been offered over them. Then, Lord, to hear Your Word read. We're blessed to even hear that. But we believe that You have some contents for us tonight that You desire to make known to our hearts. Truly, Lord Jesus, we still believe we have a high priest over the house of God. So, Lord, we are coming tonight under the profession of faith to accept those things that You have provided for us. You saw the needs of Your children that were uplifted. No doubt the needs that was represented by each hand would be so diverse and so many But Father, we're serving you tonight, and we know that you are mindful of every little thing. Some things that we might mention to one another, and we'd say, oh, that's small, that's trivial. I'd never pray about that. But yet, Lord, everything that moves our hearts moves you. So I pray, Lord God, that you would minister to us tonight. Father, may you take your word. May we be refreshed after sitting together in heavenly places. Anoint us, I pray, with your presence, Lord God. Make your word alive to us tonight, I ask. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. Based upon the scripture, you may be seated. I'd like to speak to you tonight on Hold Fast, Our Profession. Now, let me just remind you, in case you don't know it already, there ain't no way the devil's going to let us hear what we're hearing without kicking up one of the office fusses that you ever seen in your life. Now, we know that God's word is always right, and we know that the word is always true, but we know that there are seasons by which God will send his word, and sometimes I can't always tell whenever I'm preaching something how effective that it is. Sometimes I'll hear, testimonies and different things that I get back from the people. But one of the things that I've learned to watch over the years is to see how bad the devil kicks up a fuss. And that lets me know he's really mad about what's being said. So when you and I hear the word and we go to applying the word in our life in a way that will change us. Now you just watch for opposition in every way imaginable, because Satan will do that. But you know what? Whenever we know that's going to happen, then we look right back to the promise of the Word of God and we say, we know it's the truth. Whether or not we feel any different, whether or not it makes sense to us, we know the Word is true, and Satan hates it. You know, Satan hates all the Word, and we know that there's parts of the Word that he certainly hates more than others. Brother Bram even told us that, the book of Genesis, the book of Revelation. He fights those two books more than any other. And there's preaching of the Word and preaching services that Satan don't want us to receive from. But certain things, when God hones it in so particularly in our lives, you better believe Satan is going to do everything he can to stop us. Now, there's a great power. I don't know if you understand this or not, but there is a power in one who knows the Word and who has been instructed by divine authority, by being able to take that Word and put it into the lips or the minds of others, and those others simply repeat that word. There is a power in that. Now, you know, because God has placed men, prophets, and different men that have a great insight into the Word to where they would be able to have access into the supernatural realm that most of us common folks wouldn't have, and thereby God would give them an understanding that they would take the Word, and with that understanding, they would say the Word, and then we would simply repeat what was said, and we might think that we would lose the power or the authority simply because we're repeating it without understanding. But you see, God knows all people are not called to walk in the same level of the understanding of the Word. So in us taking the Word and repeating the Word and believing the Word and saying the Word, even though we may not understand it quite like Paul did when he said it, or quite like Brother Branham did when he said it, or you may say, well, Brother Donnie, I don't understand it quite like you do, but yet you take that Word and say it anyhow. Because in that, you're repeating what you're hearing the Word say. Now, whether it makes any sense to you or not, that really doesn't matter, because you'll find your first conscience is very hard to change. And the first conscience likes things the way they are. Whether they are good or whether they are bad, your first conscience does not like change. It's stubborn, and by the way, we sure don't need any more stubbornness than we already got. But our old first conscience is really hard to change sometimes, but we have to keep feeding it right to that Word to where it can go through there and overwhelm that first conscience so the subconscious can be able to get it. Now, let me show you some examples of this, of what I'm talking about. Now, I want you to read along with me. Brother Bam said, now, let's everybody bow our heads reverently, real reverent. I want you to think this in your mind now. Real reverent. I want you to repeat this prayer. You pray it. I'll repeat it. You pray it. I'll just transfer the words that it takes to defeat Satan right to your lips. Now listen, I'll transfer the words that it takes to defeat Satan right to your lips. Now Brother Branham is going to say it, but they're going to pray it. Now it won't do no good if they just say it too. They can't say it. They've got to pray it. He's going to say it, but they need to pray it. Come on now. He's going to say it, but they need to pray it because they're the one that has the needs. Now listen to this very carefully. I'll just transfer the words that it takes to defeat Satan right to your lips. Then you believe your confession. So you mean they are not the originator of this. They're not even the one who got it together. They're not even the one who thought about it. They're not even the one who put it together. They're simply standing there or sitting there, whatever their posture was, and they are hearing these words and they are believing them words. And then they are taking those words and they're actually making those words, even though it would seem they are second-handed. Because to most of these people, they are not revelation yet. They are just word, 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 word. But if they can take those words and believe in the authority given to the one who's been sent to teach them, then they can take those words and make those words their confession, and it will actually make Satan move out of their life. Simply by transferring. Now, if Brother Branham could do that, whenever he was sharing, we'll find several examples tonight, that he would do this in a prayer line. Now, what would not then the same words from the same prophet of God applied in the right way, or the words from the Bible applied in the right way, and if a God called minister would take those words and simply transfer those words into your lips, your mouth, your mind, your conscience, whatever more, would not it act exactly the same way? Does it make a difference because Brother Branham is not here in flesh? Does it make a difference whether it will be a prophet or a pastor or an evangelist or a teacher? As long as it's the Word of God, isn't that the powerful force? So then the power does not lay so much in the individual doing the transfer. It does not lay in the individual receiving the transfer. But the power lays in the words that come from God. True. So it doesn't matter whether it's a preacher that can preach good or preach mediocre or really, you know, doesn't have a whole lot to say. If that man is saying the word, and I'll tell you, friend, I believe with all of my heart, if we would come to the house of God, whether it's our favorite preacher or not, whether it's, you know, one man, I really like this guy. If it's one you really don't even care for, if God would be able to get that man out of the way, he might say five things for you in that service, and God would be able to transfer the words that you need to that man's mouth and give you something you need to walk out of there with that'll change your life. So it's not so much this personality or this gift or that gift. It's the thing that God is able to transfer the words that we need for the season of whatever we're going through. And then we take those words become our confession, and it actually backs the devil up out of our life. My. Notice this, I'll just transfer the words that it takes to defeat Satan right to your lips. Then you believe your confession. Now you that's sick, repeat this with me. Now watch these words. Almighty God, creator of heavens and earth, author of everlasting life, giver of all good gifts. I want you to notice what Brother Branham is doing. He is giving these people short, positive affirmations. Notice now they're not great big long paragraph after paragraph after paragraph of things. Notice watch how he breaks it down. Almighty God. That's a good place to start, ain't it? Almighty God. Almighty God. Not weak, puny, little old wore out God, but Almighty God. Amen. Almighty God, creator of heavens and earth, author of everlasting life, giver of all good gifts. You know what you're doing? You are moving on his heart. Ask what you will. You come before him with praise and adoration. You have exalted how great he is. You have brought the devil down. You have brought your symptoms down. And you're approaching him in the right way. My goodness, you mean these words being transferred into a recipient's lips would defeat Satan? Give of all good gifts. After bragging about him and talking how big he is, I, your servant, confess my sins, and I believe through the merits of thy son Jesus, I am forgiven of my sins. I am sick in body. I need your help. Notice these things now. Short affirmations. I need your help. Give me faith. Uh-oh. Or some of us wouldn't pray that way because we think we got all the faith in the world. Why would Brother Branham tell these people to pray that God would give them faith? Praise the Lord. My, give me faith just now to believe your word and to believe these things which I have seen tonight that reproduces your life again. As it was yesterday, so is it today. And now, Lord, upon this confession, I accept my healing. Oh, glory to God. I accept my healing and I believe from this night henceforth I shall be well. I commit myself to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, can you imagine how many people would have standing there being Pentecostals and whatever more their background was to stand there and repeat a prayer? How cold, how indifferent this must have seemed to the Pentecostals for somebody to tell you what to say, for somebody to pray and you're going to stand there. But I guarantee you, those who believed it, it defeated the devil right there. I wonder how many of them, Brother Jim, walked out of there and down inside of their engine room, the man down there said amen. And the first conscience said amen. And God said amen. And they were healed. Why? Because he was able to transfer the words into their mouth. Friend, now you say, if God could do that standing right there and bring healing to the body, what about our needs right here tonight? Cannot God take a preacher and be able to transfer the words into your mouth, into your heart, and it won't just help you tonight. But what if God would allow me to help you, to give you something that would change your life forever? Not just help you tonight, but next week and the next week and the next week and the next week until the change comes. Watch this again. I want you to lay your hands over on one another now. I want you to listen closely. I want the whole audience to repeat after me this prayer. I'm going to say it. Do you believe God tells me the words that'll defeat Satan? Now you just repeat what I say. You just repeat what I say now as you bow your head. Now can you imagine that God would give to the prophet the word? What if he would do that to the prophet? You mean he done it then and then he can't do it now? We don't have no words to say to defeat the devil. We still got him, brother. We still got him, sister. Now look, Brother Branham wasn't saying some type of magical potion. Brother Branham wasn't bringing words out that we'd never heard before. It wasn't even the arrangement of words that we'd never heard before. Almighty God's in the Bible. Creator of heavens and earth, in the Bible. I confess my sins. It's in the Bible. Help my unbelief. Help my faith. It's in the Bible. What was it? Putting together the word in a positive way to bring it to the people so they would be able to defeat Satan right there. But it can't just come from Brother Branham. They've got to take those words and believe it in their heart and then let those words be their confession. Notice again, lay your hands on each other if you're sick and needy. I'm going to pray for you. If you believe in my prayer, you have faith now as you bow your head. I want to put in your mouth the words that will defeat the devil right now. I want to put in your mouth the words, Lord have mercy, children. What greater thing could God give us than to give us words in our mouths that will defeat the devil? Amen. I want to put in your mouth the words that will defeat the devil right now. You just praise him as I repeat them with your heads bowed. Now watch you find this over and over again. And he would pray similarly in all these prayers. I'm not going to read them all. But he would go through there and he would give praise to God. He would declare God's majesty, God's greatness. And then he would come, Lord, I have need. Lord God, I have a need. Look, whenever you're saying, God, I'm sick, I have need. That's not weakness. That's not a sign of a bad confession. You're making your requests known to God. God, I've got a need in my body. God, I'm depressed. God, I've got this going on. But I want you to put the words in my mouth that's going to defeat the devil right now. Notice, Brother Bam did not pray that have a feeling. He didn't pray that feel something that would defeat the devil. He didn't pray that it was knowledge, but he prayed that it would be something that words would defeat Satan right then. Watch this. I'm going to say the prayer. Surely I know what it'll take to defeat your enemy now. I'm going to put the words in your mouth and you repeat them back from your heart. You praise them. I'm going to say them. I imagine devils started turning out of them Colosseums like scared rabbits, don't you? I'd say when the prophet of God went to saying that and he said it in South Bend, he said it over here and over there, I'd say the devil said, oh no, not again. Oh no, don't tell me he's going to start repeating that stuff again. Don't tell me he's going to have the power of transfer. Don't tell me he's going to take that power of transfer and put in them believers' hearts and in their mouths the word they need to defeat the devil. Now let me refresh your memory on the first conscience and the subconscious, on affirmations and the subconscious. Affirmations are short phrases that are repeated over and over again. The main objective of affirmations is to program your subconscious mind. The subconscious mind is also sublime, that is to say, never ever questions your instructions and never has alternative ideas. To the subconscious mind, whatever you say goes. The conscious mind is often resistant to change, preferring things the way they are, for better or for worse. This is why affirmations frequently fail to work for many people. The subconscious mind is simply not receiving the message. Brother Donnie, I put up 3 notes this week and all hell broke loose. You know what that means? You need to put up 9 more. Oh dear God, does that mean hell will break loose 3 times worse next week? Who knows? But I'm transferring the words into your mouth that'll defeat the devil. Now these ain't my words. This is not mind over matter. It's not psychology. I don't have no degrees in psychology and all the rest of that oncology or ecology stuff, whatever they call it. I ain't got no degrees in that, but I am a called servant of God. I am called to preach the word. You believe that? I am called to bring you to a place that you can stand on the promise of the word of God and defeat Satan under any condition, anywhere, anytime, with the anointing, without the anointing, with feeling, without feeling, based upon the word. Glory. Now notice your challenge. Our challenge is to bypass the conscience mind. To gain direct access to the subconscious mind, the first is to repeat the affirmation or be exposed to the affirmation so many times that the conscious mind cannot intercept and reject them all. Another method is to use affirmations at a time when the conscious mind is less active and the mind generally is much more receptive. The best times are just before sleep or just after waking. Saying affirmations until you drift off to sleep is very powerful. How many's been doing it? Praise the Lord. Not only does it reach the subconscious mind much more readily, but by taking the affirmation into the sleep state, it will continue to influence the subconscious mind during sleep. So wonder which we'd be better off to have in our thought pattern before we go into total la-la land. I'm Pharaoh. I'm Judas. I'm lost. I'm a devil. Or I'm saved. I'm redeemed. I have all things. All things are mine. He's my healer. He's my savior. He's my redeemer. Oh, glory. And you imagine laying there all night and your subconscious is going over and over and over all that thing. Notice this. Affirmations must always be repeated. I love this. In the present tense. And must be short. For example, I feel completely healthy, or I am loved. I will make it through this. Not I'm going to. I'm going to be saved one day. I'm going to be healed one day. I am already healed. Well, you said don't line up with the word. It does line up with the word. For by his stripes ye are healed. Not going to be. It's already done. Thank you, Lord. Many people make the mistake of creating affirmations that are too long and also creating too many related affirmations. The subconscious mind, although very powerful, is very simple in the way it perceives things and easily confused. Now watch these. Affirmations must therefore be short, unambiguous, and few in number. No more than 10 very close affirmations should therefore be used. They should be as few words as possible. Now notice the powerful thing of saying these positive things from the word. Three further aspects of making affirmations much more powerful, which can make the difference between them working or not, is belief, gratitude, and emotion. Which, of course, leaves a lot of message folks out since they don't believe in emotion. Anything without emotion in any religion, it's without emotion, needs to be buried. You must believe the object of your wishes is here now. Which it really is, and merely waiting to arrive into your life. Another is gratitude. Always feel grateful that you have already received and are enjoying the object of your desires. I'm enjoying my health. I'm enjoying my bills being paid. I'm enjoying whatever it is that you need. Confess it. I am, as you say, Brother Donnie, people will think I'm a nut. So what else is new? They already think you're a nut for coming to this church. They already think you're a nut for acting and dressing the way you do. Why not go all the way and enjoy every benefit that the Lamb of God has bought for us? Amen. Another is gratitude. Always feel grateful that you've already received and are enjoying the object of your desires. Emotion is extremely powerful because it raises your vibration state, making the process much faster and more efficient. We would call it stimulation by revelation. They call it vibration, whether it's revelation, vibration. I may call it revelation connected with vibration, which leads to higher elevation. But, well, it all leads into the same direction. You see, Satan don't care if you hear the word as long as you hear it and it's a dead letter. It don't move you. It don't excite you. It does nothing for you. He knows you can sit right there, hear it 7 days a week, and it'll never go down into that subconscious. It'll have no emotion attached to it. Well, glory. Now let's look at the scripture that we looked at last week, in Philemon chapter 1 verse 6. Paul says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual, passionate, on fire. So if you want your faith lit, if you want your faith to be communicated in an effectual way, this is the way to do it. And it's not just listening to tapes. And it's not just coming to church. And it's not just having long hair, sisters. And it's not going to a barbershop, brothers, to get yours cut. It's being able to acknowledge everything that you are in Christ Jesus. As Satan has found out a long time ago, repeating our faults and our failures brings us down lower and lower and lower. If you talk about how much people hate you and how much they despise you, brother, before long you'll be so low you could crawl under a concrete block with a 10-gallon hat on and never even touch the outside edges, because you're constantly down. Nobody loves me. I'm all the time. Nobody this, that, the other. Why don't you turn around and say, wait a minute, I'm loved by God. I know I'm important in the body. Nobody can take my place. Before long you'll find yourself out from underneath that concrete block. Praise the Lord. But you realize some folks love the attention they get. Well, glory. I'll tell you one thing. I think some folks would rather be sick than to be well, because they like the attention sickness gets them. I'm too busy to stay sick long myself. I got too much to do. I got too many places to go. Too much to study. My, the devil may knock the wind out of him. But when he comes back, I come back, I'll be like a fire-breathing dragon. I'm going to scorch his hide as soon as I get back up. I don't want sympathy. I don't want y'all rolling over the standing line of my poor little brother Donnie. I want you bombarding heaven. Lord God, raise him up so he can feed us more on this word. Glory. Now let's look at a few more. You ready? He is my high priest. Now I'm going to give you the scriptures as we've done before. You can have them to refer back to. Brother Jim and them, whoever did it in the library there, did a wonderful job taking these things and putting them together and then putting the scriptures. I appreciate whoever it was that did that. Notice this in Hebrews chapter 2 verse 17. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. He is my high priest. Amen. Hebrews 3:1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. The high priest of our profession. So what we confess, that's what he wants to be the high priest of. Amen. Christ Jesus. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Hebrews 4:15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So when you mess up, when you make a mistake, remember, you have a high priest. You don't need a high priest when everything is going well. You don't need a high priest when you haven't made no wrong. You need a high priest when you fall short of the glory of God. Now don't let me shock you, but I can be your priest in the sense of praying with you. Brothers and sisters are your priest. But there ain't but one high priest. I can't bear your sins. I cannot be your atonement. I can be your brother priest. Come on. We are of the order of Melchizedek. I can lay hands on you. I can believe with you. But I cannot bear the atonement of your sin. I cannot do anything like that. But we can together take it to the high priest. He is the author and finisher of my faith. Hold on, everybody. I'm transferring the words into your mouth. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. And show me what great thing you done in the middle of that. If he's the author, that means he started it. If he's the finisher, that means he's going to complete it. All I need to do is just be faithful and go along with the ride, don't I? I didn't begin this work, and I ain't going to stop it. Oh, Brother Donnie, I made up my mind. I'm going to give up on God. God done this in me. How in the world can you stop a work that you never started? How in the world can you annihilate something that the Eternal had in His mind before the world began? Oh, sure, we can get in the way, and we might cause some bumps along the way. But if He started it, He will finish it. He is the author and finisher of my faith. My faith didn't come from you. My faith didn't come from somebody else leading me to this message. He is the author of my faith. Hold on. Listen to this. He is not ashamed of me. Hebrews 2:11. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. He is not ashamed of me. You might be. We might be ashamed of one another, but he is not ashamed of me. We all know what ashamed is, don't we? There's probably certain members of our family that we are ashamed of. Certain things that's up our family tree. We wouldn't want nobody climbing around too close. Ah, there's all kinds of things up in the Reagans and the Babs and the Phillips and the Yonts and all that. Whoa, I wouldn't want y'all digging around too much. There ain't no telling what in the world you'd find. Come on now. I don't mind you looking up my other family tree, the tree of life. But now that Reagan tree or that show tree, I don't want nobody looking around on that. But you know what? Jesus can look at his brothers and say, I am not ashamed of them. I have forgiven their past. I have their future in my hand. They are my brothers. Can you handle this? He is my brother. Now, if I had something happen around my house, say I had a flat tire in my car and I didn't have a jack, I knew my brother Harry had a jack, I wouldn't hesitate to call him, ask to borrow it, and if he's around, I wouldn't hesitate too much to ask him to bring it to me. Right? I wouldn't, you either, Brother Terry. You're my brother in the Lord. Why? Because he's my brother. Now some of us, oh brother, don't need anything I can do anytime, but you know what? Knowing Harry, and I know how Harry's makeup is, I wouldn't care one bit. I wouldn't care one bit, and I trust he feels the same way about me, because you think of a brother, and you think when you're close and you've got that affinity there, well, what about our Lord Jesus? Not only our Lord, you will say he is your Lord, but can you say with all reality of God, he is your brother? Which gives an affinity in what you go through. So if you're down and weary and you need a jack to jack you up, oh glory. If you're all wore out and you've got a flat tire, why don't you call your brother? Why don't you call the Lord Jesus? Oh Lord, please come and help me. I'm all down and weary and under press. Lord, would you care to bring it on by? Would you care to come and help me? Now Paul says there in verse 11, he's not ashamed to call them brethren. In Hebrews 2:12, he says, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Verse 13, and again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I am the children which God hath given me. Verse 17, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. Friends, it's not just that he's this great almighty God and we're slaves groveling down at his feet and begging for crumbs. It's not that we're down and, oh God, don't kill me. God, don't kill me. A brother? A brother that would hear another brother in need? You've heard the story. It's been told many times. Whenever the certain platoon was under fire and the enemy was coming so close, they laid aside their rations. They laid aside this. And the commanding officer told them to leave the wounded. Many of them left the wounded because the enemy was moving so fast. But they noticed one man kept carrying another. So his commanding officer sent word back to him. He ignored it. Then the officer himself said, come back, soldier. I said, leave that man. He said, sir, I can't leave him. He's my brother. How many people have told Jesus, why don't you quit fooling with that old Joel Brown?
Why don't you quit fooling with that old Wes? Larry Elliott, Donnie Reagan, my goodness.
Jesus could look at him and say, I can't leave Donnie. He's my brother. We're all of one. We come from the same place. My father is his father. My God is his God. I can't leave him. Can't you see, friend, it's more than a God and a bunch of slaves. It is a family. We belong to the family of God. He is our brother. Hallelujah. He is my healer. Exodus 15:26. I'm the Lord that healeth thee. 1 Peter 2:24. Who is on, notice this now, own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Whatever healing you have need of tonight, amen. Don't tell God how to do it. I'll tell you, friend, I know the internet can be real informative. I know it can be real helpful, but I believe we've got to be really careful whenever we're dealing with sickness and all kinds of things, that everybody becomes a doctor anymore. They just go to Google or Yahoo and type in mysymptoms.com and they come up and, boy, I've got this and this. Don't you let the devil make you sign for all of them things there. Even if you've got all them symptoms, that's not your confession. Your confession is, he is my healer. He is my brother. He is my redeemer. Listen to this. He hears my prayers. Psalm 34:15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Proverbs 15:29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. I hope some of y'all ain't got your house on the market, because if you do and the realtor comes in looking at all these things on their wall, they're going to think wallpaper is back in style. But they're going to think a scriptural wallpaper. They ain't never seen nobody put them on the cabinets, on the fridge, on your coffee pot, on your milk jug. Amen. Why are you doing that? People say it's absolutely nuts. Don't tell me it's nuts. It's God's word. If we can transfer these words into our heart and all the old doubt and unbelief that we're used to talking about, it'll make a difference in us. First Peter 3:12, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now listen to this. Not only does he hear my prayers, he answers them. Psalms 86:7, in the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee. Show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Do you believe this? 1 John 5:4, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. He not only hears my prayers, he answers them. And if I pray in the will of God, he will answer in the will of God. Sometimes he may say no. Sometimes he may say yes. Sometimes he may say wait a while, but he answers. The Lord is my help. Psalms 33:20. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Psalms 40:17. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Psalms 121:2. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Is he your help? Is he your help? He is my peace provider. And he needs peace in a troubled world. Oh my. Now the God of hope fill you Listen to this. Fill you with all joy and peace in believing. I don't want to just believe. I want to be filled with joy and peace in believing. How come some of the message folks are believers and they're some of the most miserable people you ever be around in your life? Fussing and complaining and grumbling and then they think they're a testimony? You think anybody wants that? Glory. Notice this in Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts. You mean peace. Peace has the ability to keep us. Peace. Peace has the ability, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and... Uh-oh. Now I see why peace has to do it instead of the seal of the Holy Ghost on my soul. Since my mind ain't sealed. So God took care of my mind and he said, here's some peace, Donnie. It'll keep your mind. If you'll allow. He's my peace giver. I said, he's my peace giver. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise. But this is the way a lot of the message folks do. Some of the folks are at Happy Valley, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are gossipy, whatsoever things are scum, whatsoever things are low down, get on Facebook and say it. Some of you folks need to clean up your pals on Facebook. You need to delete a bunch of these trash mouths. Some of you would never let anybody be your friend if they cussed. Yet they'll do religious cussing. They'll run everybody and their brother down, every church in the country down, every preacher down, and you let them be your friend. I wouldn't want nobody, let me tell you something, filling my pages with all that stuff. Well, you say I wouldn't have but two or three friends. I'd rather have two or three friends that thought on whatsoever things was lovely and whatsoever things were pure, whatsoever things are of a good report than a bunch of garbage mouths. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. He is my peace provider. I don't need a shot when I get up. I don't need a pill in the noonday. I don't need an upper around 2 and a downer around 10. He's my peace provider. Amen. I've never smoked meth. I've never had a drink of whiskey. I've never smoked a cigarette. I ain't never and don't plan on starting now. But I'm higher than any Georgia pine you ever seen in your life. I'm drunker than any drunk you ever seen. I'm more addicted than any addict you've ever seen. But I'm addicted to the right stuff. And I'm flying on the right high, brother. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not something on the outside to move into my body to alter the chemicals of my brain to bring me to an ecstasy. But it's something that moves down by the word and lives down inside of my soul. And I repeat his word over and over. And it rearranges my cells. And it releases chemicals in my mind to help me think right. Glory. I'm going to get to it, but let me just drop a little something. They have proven through the power of prayer. Different people have sent me this on a news link. They have proven through the power of prayer that under such deep meditation and prayer, an englossaleia, that's a fancy word for speaking in tongues. But a person, the deeper they go into the Spirit praying, they lose the ability in their brain of self. And the more they pray, that aspect of self becomes smaller and smaller and smaller. No wonder the devil don't want us to pray. He don't want us to become littler in our own eyes. He wants us to be bigger, not littler. Amen. Oh, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Notice this. Paul says in Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule. Look at this word. To be an umpire. So let the peace of God be the umpire in your heart. So Satan winds up. And the peace of God says, ball. Satan says, ball. So he gets ready. He's going to give you a knuckleball or a curve. I don't know anything about all them balls I've just heard it said, you know. I'll get him this time. Watch him, watch him. Now watch him. Here you go. Umpire says, ball! Satan thought he was going to strike you out. He says, this game's bought out. No, we just got the right umpire. Well, he goes ahead and do it again, and the umpire says, fly. You thought I was going to say walk, didn't you? Oh, no, we don't walk in this ball game. We fly. Yeah. Amen. The devil does it again and again. Then you sneak over from first to second, and they throw it over real fast, and the umpire says, save. Yeah. Eternally. Yeah. Hallelujah. And the devil says it ain't fair. All the umpires are bought out. No, it ain't the umpires bought out. It's me. It's me that's been bought out. So this is what God wants to rule in our minds and our hearts. That it will be the umpire that makes the call. So instead of you following your emotions in this realm and what this person said, you go back and check with the umpire. Ain't the word wonderful? Ain't it amazing how one little word can be so powerful? Let the peace of God be the umpire in your heart, to the which also you are called into one body, and be thankful. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace. Come on then. When did this scripture expire? Is there an expiration date on that? AD 61? Do we believe this? Well, why don't we have it? Why don't we let this work? Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. He is my help in the time of trouble. Psalms 27:5, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Psalms 37:39, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. You ever get to a spot, Brother Tim, where you think, my strength is gone, my strength is gone. Don't let that fear grip you. He knew there'd be times, Brother Jim, that our strength would be almost depleted. And he not only made a way to where our strength would be strong, but he said, if yours is wore out, I'll be your strength in the time of trouble. What more can we ask for? If he's going to be my strength, Lord, Brother West, what could I ever face that would be too big for me and Jesus? Too big for me, yes. Too big for you, yes. But too big for me and him? He is their strength in the time. Notice, not a victory. He's not standing there with you and, man, you've come through it and all. He said, yes, now I'm going to give you strength. But when you feel like you ain't got none or it's all depleted, it's all gone, he said, I'll be your strength in the time of trouble. Isaiah 33:2, O Lord, be gracious unto us. We have waited for thee. Be thou their arm every morning, our salvation also in the time of trouble. I love this one. He will comfort me. St. John 14:16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be with you. Listen to this, shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, he just got through saying he's going to pray to the Father that the Father would send the comforter. And then he said, I'm going to come to you. Must change now. Must change from the body form of the Son of Man. Going to come back in the form of the Son of God, Holy Ghost. I will comfort you. Not another person. Him. Him. 2 Corinthians 1:3. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Amen. Friends, this is not just funeral stuff. This is saying whenever you've lost a loved one, whenever you need comfort, when a friend has turned their back on you, when you're misunderstood, when whatever is going on, any time you need comfort, you've got a comfort zone. Amen. We've got someone that this is not just applicable whenever we lose a loved one. Any day out of the week, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Notice this in verse 4, how beautiful. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. Now notice how comfort works. Comfort is given so it might be given. Comfort is given so it might be shared. God gives us comfort that we in turn can come and comfort other people. Notice this, how he says this. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Not deaths, not funerals, but all our tribulation. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Oh, thank God. Nevertheless, 2 Corinthians 7:6. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. Wow. You mean so God uses people. God can use people. Now here Paul says it was God. But God did it by Titus. How many wants to be a greater use of comfort? Do you know, brother, sister, you young people, you might have a friend that's really going through a lot of difficulty, really feeling pulled toward the world. Oh, say, Brother Donnie, if God would move on Brother Donnie, the Lord may not move on Brother Donnie's heart. He may move on your heart to where you can go and say, hey, you know what? I see you're struggling. I see you're going through this. I struggle with the same thing. But God can help you because God helped me. Don't you see what you're doing? You're fulfilling that word. God comforted you. You turn right around and give them comfort. Those of you that go through things in your body and you hear a prayer request, remember so-and-so, they've got a kidney stone, or remember so-and-so. What is that when the Spirit of God moved for you? Say, oh Lord, my brother, my sister, I know how that is. I know what that is. My, you may not get up and come to the prayer line, glory to God, Brother Donnie, move out of the way. I want to pray for him. That's not what God said to them. You may not be called to cast out devils, but all of us are called to comfort. I'll tell you, friend, we live in such a selfish world. We live in such a world that we live in our own little world. We need to move out of our little world. We need to realize we are part of a body on this hill. We are part of a body. God gives a responsibility to each one of us. Oh, praise God. His grace is sufficient. 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. His grace is sufficient. You're going through things in your home, things on your job, you've been persecuted. His grace is sufficient. And you know what? Every one of these things, Satan will try to turn right around, because Satan knows there's power in this. So he will try to turn right around and transfer the words in opposition into your mouth. I tried it and it didn't work. I've done tried it for 3 or 4 days and there ain't no change. You didn't get in that mess in 3 or 4 days. You ain't going to get out in 3 or 4 days. Many of you have been talking this trash for 50 years and you expect to be out the next Sunday morning. Come on, children. It took years and years for many of us to get where we are. I don't believe it's going to take years to get out, but it does take a little bit of time. Hallelujah. What did the devil do? He knows there's power in transferring words. Nobody loves you. Nobody cares for you. You know what? The church is just too big for you. While I'm here, let me say this. I realize we've got a large church. And it's difficult in a large church because you tend not to feel as close as you would in a smaller church. I also come from a large family. I'm the oldest of 7. I didn't have no choice on that, whether to be born an only child or one of 7. I'd have got a whole lot more attention if I'd been an only child. I might even wind up getting stuff for Christmas. Mom and Daddy was poor, so they didn't have much. So with you know, 6, 7 kids at home, I mean, you divide that, you ain't going to get near as much. But you know what? God, I believe, ordained me to be born in the Reagan family with all them brothers and sisters. Amen. I didn't have a choice in the way, but God, I don't want to be one. No, sir, I want to be an only child. Me and Harry's got a cousin, Daddy's brother's son. He was an only child. You know what that boy wanted? Brothers and sisters. He loved our family. Wanted us to come over and spend the night with him, stay with him all the time. You know why? He didn't have none. Now I realize that whenever you're born into a church, or God sets you to a certain church, some folks say, I'm being fed, but I just can't handle it. I don't get no attention of the pastor. I don't get enough attention with this. Now, unlike some of y'all think you can go wherever you want to go. Well, being a preacher, I can't. I've got to go where God sends me and stay whether I like it or not. Of course, if you're a real Christian, you will too. But Brother Donnie, I like a little church house. So do I. What am I going to do, run everybody off? If God ordained that we have a big family on this hill, then let's move right along with the move. If God ordained that some other churches are a smaller family and a tighter family, so be it. But let us not focus all of our time on that, but saying, God, is this where you want me to be? If this is where you want me to be, then I'm going to work in that body. I might not get near as much pastor attention. I might not know everybody that comes to the church. I may not know this, that, or the other. But if that's where you want me, that's where I'm staying. And the devil and my feelings and my emotions, even though I want to be an only child. That's the way there are sheep, you know. They want to be an only sheep. They want all of my attention. They want me to text them all the time, email them all the time, and take care of them all the time. I'm sorry, friends. I can't do it. There ain't no way in the world, people. Probably one of my greatest reputations where I'm known around the world is one-line replies to emails or two-word replies to text. Preachers make fun of me. All kinds of people laugh at me and make fun of me. But if they had to sit down and go through 287 like I did the other day in one setting, and some of them were 15 and 20 questions per email, and I have to look at 500 or 600 quotes to answer those, and they wonder why I don't get a book. They don't get a book back from me. Well, glory. It's that only child syndrome. Oh, Brother Darby only said, God bless you, brother. Well, what greater thing could I say? Well, What do you want me to do? Go into the weather and go into the price of groceries and go into the, you know, this is on sale this week at Food City and salmon's on sale at Ingles and so-and-so's on sale. I'd love to be able to do it, friend. I can't do it. I'm sorry. But if you realize we need to move beyond these sort of things and say, Lord, who am I in Christ? Do I belong in this church? Then help me to accept this big family. I'm glad I've got all my brothers and sisters. Maybe I should rephrase that. There was times I was glad I had all my brothers and sisters. There's a few of them I probably wish I could eliminate it in life. And I'm sure they probably wish they could eliminate me. But you know what? Once you realize God placed you there. God placed you there for a reason. Then if God placed me there, friend, do you think I would want a church this size? Do you think in my right mind I would want the responsibility of people all over the world? It ain't just what you see visible. It's all the invisible ones that you don't see that click, 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 and they consider me their pastor from Africa to England to France, all over the world. So they need prayer requests and they need problems solved and all kinds of things. That you think in my right mind would want such a thing? I don't, but I want one thing more than what I want in my right mind, and that is to serve Him and please Him with all of my heart. I'd rather have a little church, my, you know, 75 or 100 or something like that. Of course, all handpicked by me. Which would definitely leave some of you all out. All troublemakers go to the back of the line. Just remember, you always have an advantage. You can vote me out, but I can't vote you out. I've looked for them quotes, but I haven't been able to find them. So what do? We get where God wants us and we say, Lord, your grace is sufficient for me. I don't like this big church. I don't like a big crowd. I get nervous. So do I. But this is where He wants me. So His grace will be sufficient to carry me through. Praise the Lord. Let me find a place to close. Y'all won't sleep a wink tonight if you're going to repeat all these before you go to bed. I like this one here. Let's close on this one. Sin has no dominion over me. Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. That is a kingdom with a king, with magistrates calling the shots of your life. Well, so what? I've had this besetting sin. It's always been on my daddy had it. But you're making excuses. Then that becomes your confession. Then you'll never live above that because you and your subconscious, you believe you're justified. Well, my daddy always had sex problems. My grandpa had sex problems. My mother always had addictions and my grandmother always had addictions and so on. I can't get over that, but you are born again. You are born again by the word and you need to line them two men up. This one here and line them up. This is what the priest says. This is what your high priest says. I don't want sin to have dominion over you. Now, if you come up and say, well, Lord, I can't help it. I've always been this way. He cannot confess that. This is what He says. Then the only way your confession will match is when you change what you're saying and what you're believing and say, sin will not have dominion over me. Temper may run in my family. It may run in my grandpa. It did in Brother Branham's family too. As a matter of fact, Brother Branham said he ate many a meal out of a straw when he was a boy. And he got his 22 going to kill them folks that poisoned his dog. But you know what? After he got the Holy Ghost, then something got a hold of him. Amen. And it changed him to where that temper did not have dominion over him. He didn't say it didn't bother him, but it was not his master. It was not his Lord.
Let's read this one together. You read it with me. Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. Sin shall not be my ruler. It makes no difference my traits. It makes no difference of whatever's behind me. This is God's word. He didn't say it wouldn't bother me, but it ain't going to rule me. Right? When the children of Israel come into the land of promise, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Philistines, all those people was there. They dominated that land. They controlled it. God's original purpose was, I'll drive them out before you. And you will take their dominion. You imagine? They moved into houses where the furniture was already there. The gardens had already been planted right at harvest time. Maters hanging on the vines, cooks all over the ground, watermelons, peaches, everything just hanging right there. And a bunch of dirty dogs had worked all summer long and they walked right in to get the benefits. That's God's plan. God said, I'll give it to you. I'll drive them out and I'll let you have dominion. But something changed among the children of Israel. And then Joseph started with it. And then one of the others and one of the others. They couldn't drive out this one. They couldn't drive out that one. Then God said, no longer will I drive them out. Right. Did God change his mind about his word? No, they changed their mind about his word. Amen. They changed their mind. So God said, I'll leave them. The same God that said, I'll drive them out. And he said, there'll be a snare to you. And the gods of the people will be your God. Listen, friend, it's exactly where we're on the message right now. The gods out here, the gods of music, the gods of rock and roll, the gods of fashion, the gods of all these things are becoming the gods of many of the message people. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Them Philistines ain't gaining no dominion over me. And even if God allows death to take me, he won't hold me long. Because my Lord will raise me from the dead. Amen. Brother Donnie, are you okay? Are you taking medicine? I am. Daily. I'm daily taking my medicine. The gospel. Brother Donnie, you're worrying me. Really? I mean, it kind of sounds like you're getting out really way out there. Really? Yeah. I hope so. You mean it kind of sounds like I'm preaching that a man can live so close to God that the devil don't know what to do with him? Is that kind of what it sounds like I'm preaching to you all? Well, good, because that's kind of what I'm preaching. I know. It's shocking. It's outright shocking. And our conscience and our subconscious many times don't want to accept it. But you're going to accept it if you're a seed of God. If I got to hog tie you and tie this and cram it down your throat, God's going to see his bride. He's going to get this word. Brother Bam said preaching the gospel is to pervert your thinking. To a higher thinking. Strange way to put it in. What's it do? Transfers words into your mind, to your mouth. They shock you. And then you begin to think. You say, my goodness, he did give scriptures. I never heard so many scriptures in three services altogether, Lord. That is the scriptures. It don't look like it's twisted or anything. It looks like it's the truth. Amen. The man down in the engine room says, hey, testing, 1, 2, 1, 2. Are we about to go out of the harbor? Are you telling me you think this might be the truth? Yeah. This is the guy up here on the deck. I'm really thinking about this. Well, I'm sure glad I'm getting sick. I've been going around here for 30 years, around and around and around. Sin does not have to control you. You can live a life so in the presence of God that the Bible says, submit yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You mean a person can live in such a way that the devil will actually run from you? I mean, he ain't going to leave on friendly terms. See you, buddy. I'll be back tomorrow. We'll have a cup of tea together. We'll drink a Coke. We'll sit down and eat a moon pie and RC. And I'll see you tomorrow, buddy. Love you. Love you. But you submit yourself, therefore, in the mighty hand of God. Resist the devil and he'll flee. Take off running. Why? He's scared. I don't raise your hands, but I wonder how many in this visible audience and invisible as well are at that place. That Satan is afraid of what's in you. You see, friends, we need to move up. In all of our depth, in all of our great understanding, we need to move up. You love him with all your heart? Praise God. Forgive me for being so explosive tonight. Because since yesterday morning, yesterday afternoon, I guess it was, I started in Ephesians 1. I went all the way from there, all the way to 3 John, looking at every verse. Then I backtracked, went to Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, every verse. Every verse. Then Matthew, Mark, and I'm now in Luke 19. I'm searching. I'm looking. I'm a prospector. I've got my tools. And if God will let me live, I'll finish my search through every verse of the entire New Testament before next week. I'm searching. I'm looking. But I don't know what you're looking for. Treasures for you. Treasures for you and for me. So if I act like a wild man, I really have a right to. Don't you appreciate his word, friends? Do you believe it? Does it make sense to you? I know in one sense, and let me stop talking. In one sense, in dealing with this, it's very hard. Because you see, it makes people go back into past memories. Some of the things that people have shared with me by email, by letters, my heart, it just tears it out of me. To hear some of the things they've been through. And it pulls back old memories of things that they've suffered. It's awful. Some of it's awful. You just can't imagine. But I know sometimes it has to hurt before he can make it better. Maybe some of you, this has brought up some unpleasant things. But let God not only stir up the old past, but bring healing to you. That you can be a new person from this. Right? We don't want to just focus on the memories that it brings up. But let God bring us to a new place. Let's bow our heads if you would. Lord Jesus, I know any time we deal in people's conscience, whether it's the first or the second, it's a delicate business. I know in times past, people have believed wrong and I've had to try to help them see right. And I've had to venture into their conscience. They didn't know what I was doing, but I knew what I was there. I had to tread lightly. I had to do it with reverence and respect, and knowing that when I go to dealing in their conscience, and if I take away this little something that they've held on to that was wrong, if I take away too much, it can make them unstable. And then they begin to question everything, I believe. So I've preached enough and studied enough on this to know when you go into dealing with the subconscious, it's even more delicate. Lord, I pray you'd help me. Help these people here when they go to looking and searching. The people that hear these services, Lord. Dear God, I know there's many that even struggle with authority now. Some of the people in this place here tonight, maybe some streaming. They struggle with authority, struggle with a pastor or anybody really being over them. They can't even line it up to see it's because they was molested by a man when they was a child and embedded something so in them. Some of these women were sexually molested or assaulted, and they brought it on over up through their teenage, on up into their marriage, on up into their walk with you. Some of these have felt rejected, ashamed of the way they were brought up, ashamed of their home maybe, the clothes they had to wear. Lord, may you be able to open us up. You know how much to remove, how much to work around in us, Lord God. Help me to be sensitive, Father, while I'm dealing with this, that I go just far enough, not too far. Help me, Lord. Dear God, I pray for those present and those that have heard and those that will hear this service. May each of us open our hearts to you. Lord, you see the complex person that I am. The things I've been through, the things I've gone through, many of them no doubt self-inflicted, many of them things I didn't ask for, nor did I deserve. But yet all of those things have brought me to this time. Lord, I pray you'd help me. I want to give up everything that's not like you. Lord Jesus, I don't want just my spirit, just my body to comply to certain looks and certain things I do and do not do. But I want the inside of me, my conscious, my subconscious, my spirit, my soul, to be submitted to you. Lord, that you can heal me of any embedded issues in my life that would cause me to struggle with your word. Move on every heart here tonight, Lord. I pray that there has been a divine transfer in this service right here tonight. That they have heard the words. And no doubt many of them could not recall a half a dozen of the things that have been said. But Lord, this is why we make it available so they can go back and look at it and read it over and over again. I pray you'd help us, Father. Give them strength. I'm not surprised that many of them are fighting real battles since they've started applying this to their life. You know how that enemy works. It proves to us how he hates these things. Lord, I pray you'd give me courage. It always battles against me in a retroactive way because I think I caused this. By bringing these things, he's hammering on them. But it ain't my fault. It's your word, Lord. You're the one who inspired me to do it. So it ain't our battle, really. It's yours. So you're my strength. You're my courage. My peace giver. My comforter. My redeemer. Hallelujah. You're everything to me, Lord Jesus. Minister to our hearts tonight, Lord. Grant it, I pray, Lord God. Oh, we love you, Lord Jesus. Can we raise our hands? It's a sign of surrender. Many of you sisters have surrendered your hair. You don't cut it anymore. You've surrendered your pants. You cleaned out your closet. Many of you went through your CDs and things like that and cleaned out your country music and your rock and roll years ago. But what about them secret chambers in your hearts? That subconscious. Everything about you. Is it all open to him? To where he can just come in and freely walk through everything you are, your hidden places, your secret places that only you and one or two know, more people know about. Let Him be able to do that. To really get down to where we are. To be able to rule us. To let this word live. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, may our profession match what the word says. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for those that are sick tonight. May they take those promises in your word. He is my healer and I am healed. Amen. Then the prophet said, they keep confessing that, and God will make their body obey that word. But that means it's the same God in Genesis. The same God who took the man in chapter 1 and put him into a body in chapter 2. Then that same God is able to take us, which we were also in chapter 1, confessing the word, and make our body of chapter 2 match what the man in chapter 1 is saying about our body. Lord, we believe it tonight, Father. Oh, grant it, Lord Jesus. As me and Brother Skip was talking about it this week, Lord, may we be like that little man that his son had such a need. And he said, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. How could these two things come from the same man? Conscience and subconscious. I believe, but help my unbelief. Help us to get away from our foolish pride, Lord. And say we need help in our belief. We need help in our faith, Lord. Grant it tonight, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I receive from you tonight, Lord. Whatever you need now, friends. Healing, courage, strength, financial move, move in your home, something between you and your wife. Receive it right now. If I could, I would receive it in proxy for every one of you. In proxy, I can stand and transfer the words into your mouth. But I cannot in proxy stand and receive your blessing and further it onto you. Even Brother Branham could not stand there and do that. He would tell them, now confess and accept your healing. Accept your deliverance. Accept what you have need of. So let God's word be transferred into your mouth, into your heart. And then accept your deliverance. Move your feeling sorry for yourself aside. Move your pity parties out of the way. I ain't got no more time for pity parties. I want to be healed. I want to be delivered completely. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I want to be well. Praise the Lord, saints. I want to be happy. I want to have the blessings of God on my life. Praise the Lord. Accept it right now. Accept it. Whatever you have need of. Lord, I accept it. It is mine. From this night forward, I'm going to start saying I have it. I'm going to start having a positive attitude toward the word. Amen. I believe it. I accept it. It is mine. It's already happened. But they're cutting my lights off, Brother Donnie, but the bill's going to be paid. My old car won't start. Don't worry. God will supply all of your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And the church said,
amen.
Now, let me say some of these affirmations and you tell me amen if you believe them or no and boo if you don't. He is our Redeemer.
Amen.
He is our Savior.
Amen.
He bought us.
Amen.
He purchased us.
Amen.
We are His.
Amen.
We are called.
Amen.
We are chosen.
Amen.
We are elected.
Amen.
We are predestinated. Wowie! My, that ought to make a Presbyterian shout, much less bride members. He's my peace giver.
Amen.
He is my mediator.
Amen.
He is my high priest.
Yes.
He is my brother.
Yes.
Glory to God. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's give him a wave offering, can we? Hey, sing something for us. Praise God. Let's worship him together now, children. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for these precious promises, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God.
My provider,
Brother David.
You are more than
enough.
More.
Everybody sing it now. Faith right now, friends, together. I know there's a lot of sickness and a lot of flu and just a lot of old stuff going around. I want us to just join for our brothers and sisters that are suffering. Heavenly Father, you see so many of the people of the church have been sick with this flu and all these different bugs and viruses that are going on. Lord, as I've been listening this week to Satan's Eden and God of this evil age, hearing Brother Bram talk about that paradise,
And he said there wasn't one disease germ on the earth. And it just hit me. I thought, what kind of a being that the devil is, that he would want people in his kingdom to suffer. He enjoys them being sick. He enjoys them dying, suffering. He enjoys babies going into seizures. He enjoys people dying with cancer and TB. But when you come, you said, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. You don't want your children to suffer and be sick. You want them to be well. Lord, you see, it's been terrible this year, Father. Lord, they've been calling it an epidemic and all that. Lord God, I know many of the people so sick of being sick, missing church, missing work. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, I pray you'd move for us, Father. Lord, several of my own family, dear God, out of church tonight and sick and been sick various times. I pray you'd move for them, Lord. In the name of Jesus, may you bring us a deliverance, Lord God. All this flu and all these virus things that are going on. Bring healing to us, Father, I pray. And why? Because we want to live for you. Why do we want to be well? We don't want to go to the honky-tonk and dance. We want to come here to church and dance. Lord God, we don't want to go out there and get drunk. We want to come to the house of God and hear the word. Father, bring healing and deliverance for your children, I pray, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Praise the Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise His holy name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, mighty God. We worship you tonight, mighty God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Sing something else for us, Harry. Let's worship together a little bit before we go, can we? Turn around and shake somebody's hand and tell them, oh, I want to become this word. I'm going to become this word. I'm going to become this word. I'm already part of it. I'm already part of it by representation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord.
Open up the pages of your word.
Yes, Lord.
And we hear the preacher preach this sermon.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God.
Father, I want to become what I
yes,
heard.
Grant it, Lord Jesus.
In front of me, I see Christ living in me.
Yes, Lord God.
That's yes, what Lord. I'm walking toward.
Yes, Lord God.
For your desire.
Yes, Father.
For my life. Is to have the life of Christ
yes, Lord.
Live in me, not my life and yours,
yes, Lord.
But yours and yours alone. Father, let your kingdom come.
Yes, Lord.
I will let your desire
yes,
for my life,
Lord Jesus.
Is to have the life of Christ live in me, not my life and yours, but yours and yours alone.
Yes, Lord God.
Father, I will let your will be done. Lord, you're calling me to a higher place, to walk with you each and every day. If I pray and read my Bible, you will keep me in revival. the body changed your desire for my life is to have the life of Christ live in me, not my life and yours, but yours and yours alone, Father.
Praise God. Let it rain. Let it rain. Let's sing this before we go. We've heard His word and its seed. Let's be like Father Abraham. Brother Bram said he took that promise in his heart and he watered it every day. Let's praise. You don't feel no different in your body. Whatever you're asking God for, you keep watering it. Water it with so much praise. Keep it in the sunlight of God. It'll force that seed to explode. Amen. Praise God.
Let it rain. Yes, Lord. Let it rain.
Let it rain, Jesus.
Open the floodgates.
Amen.
Let it rain, open the flood.
Hallelujah. God bless you, saints. Service in the morning. Let it rain.